Okay, a question to start. What things about aging concern you the most? Sai's laughing already. Have a little think. Okay, now I want you to shout out something. You won't be alone in the room. Come on, let's hear some. Health, excellent. Being a burden. Being a burden, yeah. That's strong on a lot for a lot of people, I think. Not understanding how pensions work. Amen, sister. Who does? It's a mystery. We're going to lose them all anyway. Losing independence. Finance. One more, come on. Losing friends. Now, you probably got lies. I'm going to put up a slide. Here we have. Dying. Health problems, having to go to work or stress and other responsibilities, brackets adulting, losing my friends and family, unforeseen, unplanned circumstances, poverty, low income, pensions, debt, childbirth, menopause, being wrinkly, grey hair, hair loss, memory loss, turning into my mum. And you'll laugh even more when you know that Emily wrote that. But it's interesting, isn't it? This is a 14-year-old. How many of you, put your hand, if when you were 14, you were thinking about pensions and debt? Yeah. And has great, see, look, our younger people, yeah. And that's really good for us to hear, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, when I was 14, I don't know. My greatest worry was whether I was going to get a lift to school or not. I certainly wasn't thinking about pretty much anything on there. And that really gives us an insight, just as a sideline, into what our young people are carrying in their brains these days. So, you know, give them a bit of slack. Let's care for them. This is what they're carrying. Okay. Right. Slide 4, please. Thank you. Is there more than this? So we're asking, is there more to life? It's the classic alpha question, isn't it? Do you believe there is more than what's just here? Is there life beyond death? And does anything we do at all make any difference ultimately? Now, in Ecclesiastes, we've been thinking about this. We've been thinking about some really tough questions like, is this it? Is this all there is? And we face the realities of pain, suffering, injustice, square in the face. Is there more than just what we see? Or is there something just round the corner? And if you knew there was more, do you anticipate this road stops or continues? And if you knew there was more, would it make any difference to your life? Okay, so now we're going to pick up verse 7. Grab your Bibles. We're going to read together. Okay, because we've come along and we're begging now for some hope. Light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Yay! It's a good ending, isn't it? But despite the writer, you know, he's been going on about, oh, it's all meaningless, it's pointless, you'd be better off if you never lived anyway. He does say, light is sweet, and enjoy life, but enjoy it, holding in your mind that there will be troubles ahead, okay? Everything, he says, is like vapor. It's just something that's here today and gone tomorrow. And this theme of briefness of humanity is found throughout the Bible, isn't it? If you look at the Psalms, is described as a vapor. If you look at what James says, he describes life as a mist. If you look at what Peter says, he says our home is not here. And if you look at the writer of the Hebrews, he's talking to Christians, talking about how life is a pilgrimage. This isn't our final destination. Our destination is to be with God. And Jesus, throughout, encourages us, doesn't he, not to live with that eternal perspective of just the road ahead, but to be not thinking about this, because this is temporary, but having that bigger, longer, eternal, lasting perspective, that what we do now can have ultimate significance in the future, in eternity. There is such a thing as heavenly treasures, as he describes them. Rather than just building and grasping and trying to build this perfect little place where we are, Jesus is getting us to fix our eyes on something bigger, more lasting and eternal to come. Let's look at verse 9 together. You who are young, be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. He's saying, enjoy life and grasp the adventure that is. There is so much to enjoy in this life. I know we have troubles, but there is a lot of fun to be had and a lot of things to experience and find out and enjoy. But he says, warning, you will have to give an account for how you've lived. Verse 10. So then, he says, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. So he says, banish anxiety. Banish troubles. What exactly? What anxieties? What troubles? Well, look at what he says. Anxiety here is about losing your youth, your vigor, vitality. And that's what you're worried about. Worried about getting old. And you can't deny it. Death and aging is part of a normal life at the moment. You cannot delay it or stop it any more than you stop the sun moving. So don't let this be something you dread or that stops you enjoying youth. But there is a $5 billion industry just in this world that says it can slow it down. Let's look at slide 5. Here we are. Beauty is associated with youth. And what that association means, big business. In the UK alone, cosmetic industry taps into our fear of aging to the tune of £3.2 billion a year. It's a lot. I remember my friend saying when she went to, she was in America walking along a street, I don't need to go into it, but someone came up to her selling face cream. But she didn't open with, would you be interested in face cream? She said, what concerns you more? Is it your wrinkles or your tired looking face? Ooh. And this person was only like 30. But cosmetic surgery is big business. But the teacher's saying worrying about losing your youth is total meaningless hevel. It is a waste of time. But you've got a lot of voices telling you it isn't. So you better make sure you're listening to the right person. Jesus teaches us not to be afraid of death, but to fear the one who has the power not only over this life, but the life to come. He teaches you to have that bigger perspective again. Jesus is the one who ultimately has authority over the now and round the bend in eternity. So you trust him with your life. The Bible's got lots of wise sayings, of course, about honoring your elders, respecting the grey hair. I like to cover mine. It's apparently a crown of glory. It's equated with wise living and the blessings of God. So if you are graying, wear it with pride. It is wisdom and the blessings of God. Very different to what our world tells us. But it's a challenge, isn't it? To embrace our aging bodies, particularly when the only pictures we ever see that are held up as beauty, something to be celebrated or desired, are people in their 20s. When was the last time we saw magazines with people in their 50s and 60s and 70s held up as beautiful? It isn't often, is it? But we are to give our anxieties about our current bodies and our future bodies to him. Paul says that our body is a tent. It's soon to be replaced. And this doesn't mean we ignore or neglect our bodies. We stop feeding it or washing it, some kind of protest against the cosmetic industry. And you guys come next week and the whole place stinks. We are told to look after our bodies and encourage our bodies to do good, not evil. Our bodies are to be valued. We don't devalue them. We're not saying our bodies are just a piece of meat. It's all about our souls and we can just ignore it. We're not that. We know that God took on flesh. He took on flesh. And the resurrected Christ is still flesh. And that we will be resurrected as flesh. And so our bodies do count, although for now they are aging and broken. They will be restored. Our bodies will be redeemed. And they are a gift from God. Let's look at chapter 12. He says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. It's one of the most famous lines in the book, remember the creator in the days of your youth. And I actually talked to Em about this and she went, yeah, I think they're better. You know, because they're always thinking about the future, they're much better, like, yeah, stupid, of course. Maybe it's our generation that got lost of it in the now. Solomon's advice is remember, call to mind God when you're young. Don't wait for a crisis. Don't wait till you're at death's door to give in and say, God, are you there? Reach out to him, not just when you're in trouble, but to give you meaning and purpose today and a spiritual connection that lasts for eternity. And many of us, you know, even this morning, I heard someone say, bet you wish you'd done that earlier. All of us wish we'd done it earlier. If you are today thinking, should I follow Christ? Don't put it off. Because we're all saying, I wish I'd done it earlier. So what does he say? Let's look at verse 3. He does a whole, like, poetry bit now. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. Before you're bent over and you're unsteady. When the grinders cease because there are few. You lost your teeth, lovies. And those looking through the windows grow dim. The eyesight's gone, Les, sorry. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades and the people rise at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint because you're losing your hearing and you do need a hearing aid, but you're too stubborn to get one. When people are afraid of heights and of the danger in the streets, before you feel that frightened about going out or doing something new or driving your car, whatever old age has thrown at you, and now you feel totally anxious about something you did without even thinking 20 years ago. When the almond tree blossoms, it's when your hair's gone white, my sweets. When the grasshopper, I love this, drags itself along, got your walker out. The desires no longer is stirred. I'll leave you to interpret that yourselves. When people go to their eternal home and mourners go about on the streets, before your funeral, remember your creator Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, when your precious life ends, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel is broken at the well, your body has given up, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and your spirit returns to God who gave it. Ashes to ashes, we say, and dust to dust. And he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. The end. Sorry, no. Verse 9. Back to the third person. He starts in the third person, then we go to the first. It says, not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and he wrote what was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They collected sayings that firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. I love that picture, like a stick with a goad with nails on it, and it's poking a sheep up the bum. That's what they're like. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of the making of many books, there is no end. And such wearies, and much study wearies the body. It's here that we get that glimpse of Solomon again, just like in the Proverbs when he's writing to his son. He's writing to those younger than him. Imagine a man in his old years. This is his final words. And it's good. It's good words. He's very wise, Solomon. Read his Proverbs. But there is a wiser one. Verse 11. I can't help but have a little skip in my heart when I love seeing bits that point to Jesus, you know, because there's you read the Old Testament. It says, given by one shepherd, because we have the greatest shepherd. There are many books and podcasts and wise saying, and there is wisdom. But if we want to know real wisdom, not a hint of wisdom, but true wisdom, we need to go to the one shepherd, Jesus. And we should have his words firmly embedded in our lives. Jesus is the incarnation of God, fully human. He is, as it says, the wisdom of God. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the true one shepherd. We heard earlier in Ecclesiastes, I'm the true righteous man. He's the culmination of the wisdom of God, all that scripture has been pointing to, hinting at, and leaving us desperate for. If you felt during Ecclesiastes, there must be more, I need more, I need hope, we have it, and his name is Jesus. Jesus' words light up like lightning in the sky. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the true path, that sweet light that the writer talked of. He says, I'm the truth in a sea of voices. And goodness knows we've got a sea of voices. He is the truth. I am the life, real and full as it was intended to be, that lasts way beyond the now. And many people hold some truth. That's not to say we just don't listen to anyone. Don't listen to doctors. No. You don't need any of that. No, some truth. But Jesus is the whole truth, as they say, and nothing but the truth. Jesus says to those who believe his claims, if you abide in my word, that's if you desire to follow my teaching, my instructions, my words, and let me set the direction of your life, your thoughts, your minds, you're my disciples, and you will know what? The truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from anxiety, free from the ultimate meaningless of this life, free from the snare of the foolishness and the grip of sin, free from half-truths, empty promises, and fleeting opinions. Verse 13, Let's look at it. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Fear God. Acknowledge him in your youth. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. So let's think about his commands. His command, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and prophets, all of it. And it means everything. Everything we've read hangs on these two commandments. So don't put your thirst for knowledge or desire for possessions or ambition or money or your need to be beautiful in the world's eyes or anything before God. If God's got your whole heart, everything else falls into place and enables you to really enjoy life, every bit of it, not just in your 20s, but in your 70s, 80s, 90s. Look at the 90-year-olds we have in this church, and they beaming. I go and visit them, and I feel better after I've seen them because they are full of the joy of the Lord. Yes, they're looking for heaven. They're saying, my body is a little bit broken and annoying now. I would like to go and get that new body. But they are full of joy, purpose, satisfaction. When we treat others as we would like to be treated, we lay down our selfish desires, ambitions, even life itself to follow Jesus, whose wisdom is often seen as an upside down, but really it is the right way up. It is the way the world was intended to be. God's judgment, including our hidden depths of our hearts, awaits us all. For believers, those who trust in Jesus and seek to follow his words and his wisdom, we live knowing Jesus has taken upon himself these. We know what it cost him, that he gave his life up for us. He laid down his life for his friends. He showed us that ultimate sacrifice of what it is to live, to reflect God, to sacrifice, to lay yourself down for others is seen perfectly in the cross. The ultimate compassion that doesn't just feel sorry for people, but acts on that and wants to do something about it. Death was never meant for us. We have eternity in our hearts, and maybe that's why we're always fighting getting old. Because if you think there's nothing else, there's something really not quite fitting with this sense that I'm made for something more. Jesus came and died, taking our sins upon himself, for he had none of his own. He lived how human beings were meant to live, reflecting the Father, living in compassion and abounding in love. And death wasn't the end. He rose again. He's the only human ever to have risen again to that eternal life. And he invites us to join him, to rise with him. So today, Jesus invites you once more to remember your Creator, to call him Lord, to acknowledge he's the way, the truth, and the life, even if we get confused sometimes. And today is your opportunity. If you would like to commit yourself to Jesus, to invite him in, to open yourself up and say, I want your wisdom, I want your love, I want to be directed by you. I know that I've just been living my own merry dance and that doesn't seem to work. And it won't, because we're made for a relationship with him. If you want Jesus to teach you and guide you, instruct you, to fill you with that peace and joy I spoke about for those 90-year-olds, and to give you purpose that lasts way beyond the end of that road, to make this life have some meaning, because it has meaning in eternity, then pray this prayer with me now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to acknowledge you are God. I'm sorry that I've lived my life without you, as if you don't matter. I give you now everything that I've done wrong, all the mess ups, all my guilt and all my shame, all the things that I wish I hadn't done. I thank you for dying for me, for taking this all on yourself. Right now, I acknowledge you, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. I want a relationship with you. Help me to learn to live your way from this moment, to live a new life with meaning, joy, purpose, and true satisfaction. In Jesus' name. Amen.